everybody. Welcome to Theology on Mission podcast, where theology engages culture, the issues of culture for Christ and his mission. And we're back, Mike Moore. Here we are in the studio, which means we're in our offices. But I think it sounds better if I say we're in the studio.
Sounds much better. Get more listeners when you say that.
Additional five listeners every time I say we're in the studio. But we're so glad to be back here on Theology on Mission. Mike Moore, you and I have both been traveling. Are you back home? Is everything okay?
I am back home. A lot of travels, and then next week you and I are doing a road trip.
Yeah,
to
but
Minnesota.
By the time this hits, we'll probably be back from that road trip.
Okay.
So we'll probably be talking again about being back from a road trip.
Yes. Yeah, we're going up to the Unite Conference at Greg Boyd's church in Minnesota. So if you're going to be there, then I guess you're going to listen to this and we will have seen you already.
Yes. So we look forward to being up there and being around with the Theology on Mission podcast. Yes, I think we'll do a podcast while we're there with Boyd or somebody.
Yeah,
but folks, here we are, Theology on Mission podcast, and we are just, we've been looking forward to this for a long time, but we have Dr. Jack Serra, the president of Bethlehem Bible College. He's a reverend as well. He's a pastor, a native Palestinian. He has been working in the on-the-ground, training Palestinian Christians for the work of the kingdom of Jesus, and so we are so humbled to have him with us. We want to talk through several of the issues, not only that Christians are dealing with on the ground in the Gaza crisis, but we want to talk about how we as people in North America can support and show our support and work for peace in Palestine as well. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jack. Do you want me to call you Dr. Jack or Dr. Jack Serra or...
Reverend?
Friend, how do you want me to address you, Dr. Serra?
Well, people call me your Pastor Jack. You know, I've been working with the Christian Missionary Alliance, and I've been pastoring churches for over 20 years now. So people are used to calling me Pastor Jack all the time.
All right, Pastor Jack. And I don't know if you heard that out there, folks, but he's ordained in the Christian Missionary Alliance, and I'm ordained in the Christian Missionary Alliance, and so I count us as brothers in many different ways, but this is one of those unique ways. So glad to have you on the podcast. Tell us a little bit about your role and what you're doing there in Bethlehem, and then tell us about the challenges you're facing on the ground as both a pastor and an educator amidst the Israel-Palestinian war going on. Can you help us understand a little bit about your situation?
Thank you, David. David, I am almost third generation today as a Palestinian Christian, third generation of being under this ongoing conflict that has been going on, not recently, but almost since 1948, and it before. So my grandfather, my father, I am, and my son today, who's 21 years old, have been going through basically war after war, and I can't recall that we have ever knew a period of peace. And in such a setting, I grew up, both my parents come from actually refugee families. They had to flee their houses in West Jerusalem, ended up in East Jerusalem, or inside the old city of Jerusalem, or the Christian quarter, as refugees back in 1948. And they started building a family, you know, wanted us to live in peace, but somehow reality always jumps in the face that there is this land has never been new peace, at least within the past century or so. So as a cultural context that has been going through turmoil, conflict, 1948, 1967, 1987, 2000, and now, I mean, it's ongoing, almost nonstop. And as we speak today, you know, we're just expecting any time that will be another escalation in the Iran-Israel confrontation. It's over us. I mean, two days ago, Iran was sending these drones and things, we will see them lighting in the sky here just outside the stack and behind me. So this is the context I grew in. This is the context I live, my family, my children, my parents, and I'm hoping that my grandchildren will not experience such a context like we are today.
Yeah, well, what is so important for me, and what is this opportunity gives us the chance to take the Gaza Palestinian Israel conflict out of the ideologies of the United States of America that are swarming everywhere, and actually put it into its context. And so we can now talk about what it means to be a Christian in the midst of this hundreds of years conflict going on in Israel, Gaza. So tell us a little bit about your day-to-day ministry as a Christian pastor in Bethlehem, and how I mean, you must be over, okay, for us here in the States, we're overwhelmed with the violence, the killing of the innocent, the oppression, and it just, we don't know how to deal with it or not to give into the ongoing violence. Tell us what it's like for you as a Christian day to day to minister the gospel amidst this ongoing oppression and violence.
You know, the gospel message is the healing message, and the word evangelion, you know, the good news should be good news for all humans, all peoples, regardless of their background, ethnicity, and color. And this is what I want to promote, and this is what I want to preach in my church and in my context. You know, especially in a context that has been under the shadow, I would say, of so much theology, so much, I would say, sometimes even crooked theologies that relates only to the end times, forget the now and the today, you know, of things. So in my preaching, in my speaking, in my pastoring, in my church, in my training, in my Bible college, again, you know, you mentioned that I'm the president Bethlehem Bible College in Bethlehem, inside of Bethlehem. So I live in Jerusalem in a different reality. I go to Bethlehem on a daily basis in another reality, because that means I have to cross a checkpoint going in and going out. I have to go through an army post almost on a daily basis, sometimes once, twice a day. So the reality in our faces is an occupation. It's an army that is controlling a massive population inside of Bethlehem, inside of the West Bank. And more so within the past many years in Gaza, which was coined as the largest prison on earth, with over 2 million people in prison here. And in such a context, you know, our theology, our pastoral ministry, you know, should speak to our context. You know, we cannot teach about peace and reconciliation if we don't have, you know, a solid base from the scripture to do so. And we do have that, yet, sadly speaking, some of the theologies that, you know, comes across our place in a way supports one people against the other, in a way supports war more than peace, in a way supports, in a way, the oppression of my people, and they bring the scriptures in light of this, and against all odds, you know, we want to use the scriptures to elevate this instead of elevating the suffering, you know, kind of like lessen the suffering of my people, helping them, you know. Christianity in Palestine has been here for 2,000 years. You know, people forget, or tend to forget, that this is where we started as Christians. Jerusalem, you know, and Bethlehem, and Nazareth, the Galilee. This is the area where, from day one of Christianity, Christians have been here and never left. You see, sometimes we kind of like forget that there is this, we have a gap, like we think that our Christianity started only in the Reformation or in the, you know, 17th, 18th century evangelical movements or holiness movements or whatever movements. And we forget that for 15th, 16th, 17th century, even since Christ died, Christianity has been here, never left. And Christians here relate to that, even though we are with us evangelicals, you know, with our background being Orthodox or Catholic or one of those historic denominations that are there, we feel the legacy of carrying on of what early Christians had been going through. I mean, when Christianity started here, when Jesus came here, it was a context of occupation? What's the context of suffering? What's the context of empire in a way or another? And in a way, this is where we kind of like relate all the time. I mean, just imagine, you know, when we're going in a war that has been going almost now in the seventh month. I mean, we will not teach just about people forget, your suffering and forget your pain and forget everything about this earth and just wait for the heavenly Jerusalem. You know, our preaching has to be contextual to give them the strength and the hope. So when they see something like Psalm 23, for example, they see it speaking to them today and not later on in life. They see it speaking in the midst of such darkness and the shadow of death, rather than being in a great pastor somewhere in England or the US or New England, you know, somewhere where it just looks like, you know, from the movies. Reality is very difficult on the ground here. People face it on a daily basis. Most Christians want to live here, and that's one problem that I have. We do focus on the calling of Christians. My preaching, a lot of times, will help enable, strengthen the Christians to remain rooted in the land that we belong to. And that's important part of our preaching and teaching here, because on the ground here, a lot of Christians are going into what we call, and I call now, existential threat for our presence as a Christian in the country of Christianity.
Wow. Actually huge statement that most Christians want to leave and you're calling them to stay. So what hope does a Palestinian Christian have to be an instrument of the reconciliation of Jesus Christ between peoples, between the Jews and the Palestinians, so over here in the United States, and we don't want to get you into a situation where you start talking about United States, because we know all too well over here the way we think about peace and the way we think about doing something for justice is through using violence or using military or using even the government. We don't have any conception that there's actually a God at work among a people working for reconciliation and renewal of all things. And so our calling is to be here and to make space for God to work. Can you tell us, forgive me for going on, but now I'm just reminded of like these times in history when Christians have stayed, when actually the nonviolent movements, the Christian movements of, say, the Jim Crow South worked for renewal and the transformation of an oppressed people, and the civil rights movement, or in South Africa and the apartheid, can we have hope something like this is going to germinate from the peoples, the Christian peoples of Palestine?
At the Bethlehem Bible College, we feel responsibility to reflect and produce theology that speaks to this context of conciliation. I mean, like one of the degrees we offer here is a degree on peace and justice, because it's just so much needed. I mean, our part of our calling, we feel we are called to train and to equip peacemakers in such a context like this. Within our inception of what we do in training, always we have been challenged. I mean, even some of our supporters are asking us, I mean, why should we invest in Bethlehem? Why should we invest in Gaza? Why should we invest? Since, you know, your country has been going in turmoil and you're living in a war zone, I said, actually, at the contrary, this is where Christians should invest, in place where we are making peacemakers in such a context. You know, me and my family chose to, we were born in Jerusalem. We lived most of our lives in Jerusalem. We found this amazing school here next door that raised Jewish kids and Muslim kids and Christian kids to study together. And they, as from preschool all the way to high school, they learned to communicate with each other, talk to each other, and basically respect each other for who they are, not compromising on a narrative of the other, not dismissing, I would say, the story or the history of the other, but trying to understand it. And this is something where Christians could play a major role. Sadly, in our history, all the way from prior to 1948 and now Christians have taken the wrong side. They decided to take one side over the other, as if this is a side issue, thinking that if I took the side of Israel, for example, I'm taking the side of the scriptures and the Bible and the prophets and the fulfillment of prophecies and Jesus' side of things, since anyway, Jesus is coming back to this land, knowing, within all this, I don't want to say about word about this theology, just respecting our listeners, the whole spectrum of this dispensation of theology that sometimes had been treated, that had been destructive to peace efforts and to the thinking of people about how we can help the people who are living right now. I mean, when you come here and understand that Christians of all backgrounds and all denominations, and specifically Protestants and evangelicals, have been more pacifist in their approach to things around here. And most of them have taken an approach where we want to love everyone, yet it seems that our story is being dismissed. I mean, every time, David, I say to people, I'm a Palestinian, it's just like you're throwing cold water in the head of someone, because they don't get it, that a Palestinian could be a Christian, could be an Arab, could live in this country, and be here and live peacefully. They like to kind of connote our country into a Muslim Jewish thing, and as if, Christianity does not exist. And I don't want to go randomly speaking, but our role is very important as Christians. We are small in number. I mean, when you talk about Christians today here, born again, Bible believing, spirit filled whatever you want to call it, we're a few thousands. Christians as a whole, we're about 200,000 in the whole country, so don't even make 1.5% of the total population, both in Israel and in Palestine. This includes Gaza, where we have less than 1,000 Christians who are living in Gaza today, now taking refuge in the churches there. We have a Baptist church, a Catholic church, and an Orthodox church that has been there for so long in Gaza City. And, all those pockets of Christians are trying their best to impact and influence and reach out and train and lead. I mean, you imagine, we are not even 1.5% on the Palestinian side. And the impact that we have is much more, much larger than our size. When measured, the impact is measured by over 25% over the total population, which is huge for the 1%. And when you ask me why, it's because we have colleges, we have universities, we have hospitals, we have, NGOs that has been really working hard on bringing not just peace and reconciliation and harmony, but as well help the people at all levels, including the gospel message of Jesus saves, and he wants to be your Lord and Savior, to the point that Jesus also wants to heal you through the hospitals that we are building. Mm.
Yeah.
That's a holistic good mission.
Yeah. Yeah. Pastor Jack, I hear your story, your background, Palestinian pastor, ministering in Jerusalem, Bethlehem. I imagine just in each of these discrete communities, there's a range of perspectives. So there's a range of perspectives in the church, probably in Palestine, and where you're pastoring in the university. I'm wondering, how do you lead your people with all these different polarities from multiple different communities pulling on you at the same time?
Who are facing the same discrimination by levels. So if you come to Bethlehem, it's different than those who live in Jerusalem. But as a whole, we're traumatized, we're the war tactics and the years that, we have in the past, either the refugee, wherever you go. If I tell you in 1948, the 750,000 Palestinians became refugees, and which means today a lot of the Christians that I know, the grandparents have been refugees, who lost, who experienced loss and trauma in their past. And this is usually things like this does not, even though they might not talk about it on the dinner table, but it's still kind of like you inherited in a way. So there is this feeling of being traumatized, inferior, something, somehow you lost, the feeling of lostness. And this is on all the levels, even those who have Israeli citizenship who live in Israel proper places like the Galilee and Nazareth, you know, who are now called, you know, some would call them Arab Israelis, some would call them Palestinians with Israeli citizenship. You know, the definition sometimes counts, and sometimes even it could cause the people to have a certain perspective on who you are. But the trauma is a trauma by all means. Now, of course, it has more, it's harder in the West Bank. I mean, just go to the West Bank today and ask any of those youngsters who have probably 22, 23 years old. Ask them, for example, what's the first image that comes to your mind when you think of an Israeli person or a Jewish person? And right away, the two images that they will think of is a person with guns. You know, it's either a settler or a soldier, because this has been the experience in the West Bank of those, you know, the Jews. Come to Jerusalem, of course, you know, ask my children, what do you think of Jews? Say, you know, the one that works with me at the restaurant, my classmate, or the people at the mall that, you know, I buy and shop from. And, you know, it is that the perspective changes from place to place. But as a whole, we feel as Palestinians, you are under this, you know, heartless. You're always treated differently. You're always not considered citizen. You know, you're not considered as someone who belongs to here. And the contrary, Palestinians, you know, would think, no, you know, it's not just we belong here. You know, this we belong to this land. You know, we've been here for hundreds of years, and we want to fight for our presence as much as we could, and remain and stay. And we have a word that Arab Palestinians use a lot today, especially in light of the difficulties, which we say shamud. Shamud means resilience, you know, perseverance, you know, long suffering. Even though we're suffering, we still want to stand firm in the midst of such a storm. And this is one of the items, this is one of the themes we preach and we talk about, how we should stand through the storm, whether it is a real persecution because of our faith, or it's because of the occupation and the lostness and the trauma that we have faced and suffered and continue to face on a daily basis here.
Yes. Those of you who are listening right now here in the United States, Canada, we have a way of what I call ideologizing things, taking things out of their context and turning them into us versus them. And so we are going to be for Israel. We're going to be therefore against Palestinian cause, or we're going to associate Hamas with everything Palestinian. And when we just don't actually listen to what's actually going on the ground. And so what I so appreciate about Pastor Jack coming on this podcast is he's able to talk about what it's actually like and what's going on the ground. Pastor Jack, you mentioned dispensationalism. We have eschatology in this country that's driven by, I'm not even so sure dispensationalism in its original ways exists any. Well, I know it does exist, but the way we turn Israel, the state, and Zionism together to make it the plan of God is Israel was the nation called out by God to be a blessing to the nations. And the church, Christians everywhere, all around the world, are an extension of this branch, this way of being branched into Israel all over the world. And it's hard to imagine that we get sucked into an ideology. So I just want to ask everybody out there again to listen to what's going on, because we have to come behind our Christian brothers and sisters and support them. This is the ministry of the gospel going on at Bethlehem Bible College, the pastors and churches of the Palestinian Christians. This is where God is going to work. Pastor Jack, can you give me, us here, listeners, maybe a story of hope, something that we can grasp onto, a little seed? It's always seeds of hope, seeds of the gospel that we find out 10, 15, 20 years later just blossomed into the peace and reconciliation. Can you give us a little taste of hope before we have to end this podcast?
Stories of hope are in the young people that I see and train day in and day out. And a lot of like that, a lot of my students come, that's their church planters. And many of them go on to, you know, not just start their own ministries, but at the same time, try their best to bless other nations as well. I mean, not long time ago, I had, you see, my people are, like I said to you, a lot of them are refugees. So my students every 6 months gather together with the help of the college and make a trip to cross to Jordan. You know, in Jordan, if you know anything about Jordan, Jordan has received hundreds of thousands of refugees, including starting with the Palestinians in 1948, 67. And now, you know, later on, 90s with the Iraqis, and since the Syria civil war, a lot of Syrians. So the students are deciding to go every 6 months to go and serve among the Syrian refugees, where they go to partner with the church, actually the Alliance Church in Mafra, which has become a ministry center for refugees. And, you know, they will plan children activities, they will plan youth activities. Now, you know, today I was talking with one of them and they're planning a basketball boot camp, you know, where they want to take a trainer and go there and help the Syrian refugees. Again, you know, these are students who need help. You know, these are students who themselves are refugees. So I always, you know, say that this is really neat because these are refugees going to serve refugees, but with the niche, it's the love of Christ and the message of the gospel that they're bringing to these Muslim Syrian refugees that have been really impoverished in some of the cities or some of the camps in Jordan. So when I see this, I say, you know, even though we have been humiliated, even though that we become rich, even though still God could use those who have been crushed to help those who are being crushed as well, but with the love of Christ and with the empower of the Christ and with the healing that they receive so that they give healing to others. And, honestly, I can't think of any of those, even though that Israel so much had to crush our people, like Jews, but they're really not Jews in general, but some, you know, Jewish fanatic fundamental groups are really kind of like demonizing our people. I still feel Palestinian Christians, you know, are able to provide healing and forgiveness once, you know, they're met with this goodness of God. So pray, you know, pray for our students that we continue to be vessels of peace in such a context. Because for me, that brings hope that even though we experience hardship, still God will use those because of the experience we have to help others who experience similar hardships.
Wow, that's encouraging. Praise the Lord for every single student. Yeah. Who is able to be a minister and a witness to the power and the presence and the reconciliation of Jesus Christ. Mike Moore, before I land, one more question. You got anything? you got any? You probably have a lot of questions left.
I feel a mix of different things. Jack, I was telling Dave before we jumped on the podcast, he asked if I had questions for you. And I said, I don't really have a lot. I'll just say I feel really pretty humbled to be able to sit here and have a front row seat and listening to you talk about your kids, to talk about your students, and to talk about the legacy of your family. So, I just want to say thank you. I think Fitch and I and Chaz is here on the call too. I think we're just overwhelmed with gratitude for you and for your faithful ministry.
And for me, I just want to support you. Let's just talk about support for a minute here. I hope every single listener hears what's going on and finds a way to support the Palestinian Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about how we support our Palestinian brothers and sisters. You know, I hear a lot of talk in like my church and in places I go, let's lobby the congresspersons, no more support for Israel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think there's some validity to doing that work. Of course, we can open up our checkbooks and we can send support to some of the ministries, Jack, that you help lead. Talk to me about both things. Give us some Palestinian insight into both those things. Because our government is supporting some, I would call, unjust violence being perpetrated by the nation state of Israel and its military. On the other hand, and I don't want to get anybody mad at me out there. I'm speaking for myself right now. What should we do about that? And then where and how can we support you in other ways through your ministries?
Just got back 2 days ago from the U.S. I was at the White House. I was meeting with senators. I was meeting with the Congress people. I met with the Commission for Religious Freedom in the U.S. A lot of really high-level meetings pleading with the American administration to interfere and stop this madness that is going on here. I mean, talking about weapons, if America stopped the weapons for 3 days or 1 week, I mean, the war will stop. I mean, we're, in a way, you know, fueling this war with more and more weapons has been proven destructive, with over 35,000 people so far killed in Gaza. However, you know, we are also, we're pleading with them to care and to open an eye for the small Christian community that has been barely surviving both in Gaza and the West Bank. You know, who needs a lot of prayer, a lot of support, and a lot of help by all means, you know, to protect them. You know, we don't want to empty the country from Christians like some countries are intending to do, you know, and in light of everything, but to empower the community and protect them. And this could be done by lobbying, you know, to those, whether Congress people or senators, to really, more than stopping them, if they cannot stop the weapon, you know, sending the weapon, they send humanitarian aid, you know, let Israel open the doors so that more and more humanitarian aid will go into Gaza. People are starving and are here now. People will, they didn't die from bombs, they will die from starvation. And this is an important note, I mean, to write to those who are in power, please allow aid in. Allow aid in, you know, not to stop the aid, but rather increase it more and more. I mean, Gaza before the war used to enter 500 trucks a day for Gaza. Today, I mean, just recently I heard not even 250 are going in a week. So there is a lot of need, huge need going on the ground. I mean, we have been, as a college, we've been engaged in supporting not only the Christians in particular, but also others in Gaza by food, sending whatever we could from food and aid through our partners there. One of our hospitals that is a Christian hospital, the Gaza Baptist Hospital, was bombed early on in the war. And we tried as much as we could to help this hospital to become functional so that it would help the people over there. These are some, you know, some areas where they can invest. I mean, they can check out our website, that's www.bethbc.edu. And find a way to support the operation of our Bible College in the West Bank or any of our endeavors in the West Bank and Gaza Strip as well. Because in the past, we used to have a center in Gaza. It's no longer there, but we still have graduates and students who are studying with us there and are serving on the ground, Christian Palestinian evangelicals who are serving on the ground in Gaza. And they need help and support and prayers as well.
Oh, yes. There's people out there listening or maybe know people who think like this. To support the Palestinian cause is somehow to link with Hamas. Can you speak very clearly to us how we're not justifying any violence done by Hamas's terrorist organizations, but can you speak to that? So for those people who are listening, they need clarification.
I mean, anything that for us, any killing of anyone, any civilians is evil. You know, whatever happened on October 7, we never encouraged it, neither look at it as a good thing, abhorring, honestly. So, you know, supporting the Christians is not supporting any work like this. You know, whatever Hamas has done or the militias has done does not represent the Palestinian people as a whole. And I wouldn't say regardless, at the contrary. We mourn those who died on October 7th, over 1,200 people. It's just a lot of innocent lives were lost. But then we also mourn 35,000 people after this, that kind of like does not justify killing, you know, almost 4, 5, 6 times, you know, and more even per person, you know, the out of proportion kind of like response that Gaza had received so far with more. Then now as we speak, people are dying. So it is hard to kind of like even justify that, you know, the continuous killing of people. Then when, you know, Israel would say, you know, we had been satisfied with the bloodshed, till when, you know, on the ground people will suffer, till when, you know, the hostages that are kidnapped in Gaza will not, you know, they will not, we want them to return to their houses. You know, there are Israeli families that are mourning, Jewish families that are mourning, waiting for the children to come home. And the key is in Israel to stop this war and negotiate and do something in the ground.
Yes, yeah, I just published a book on worldly power versus God's power by the Holy Spirit at work in His people. And you know, we as Americans can work to hold our government accountable when we use worldly power for preservatory preservatory measures. Let's hold our government accountable. But secondly, let's support our Christian brothers and sisters on the ground in Palestine, in Gaza, in Bethlehem, in the West Bank. Let's support them. Mike Moore, I never do this, but let's get our checkbooks out and support Bethlehem Bible College. Let's support our ministries. Christian Missionary Alliance has CAMA services put in there. Write in there specifically supporting. What should they write? I'm sorry, Jack, I'm getting a little emotional here. But what should they write in there to support for the Christian Missionary Alliance in Palestine and Jordan and other places?
The needs are, so whatever they feel in their heart, they want to support our leaders, they want to support refugees, they want to support food and humanitarian aid. I would say all of the above, by all means. However they feel in their heart to support. I mean, they can send through, it's a Christian Missionary Alliance, they could send through the General Fund or the CMA in the U.S. And if they want to support particularly our ministry at Bethlehem Bible College, which is not Alliance particularly, but we serve all the churches and all the Christians and others as well on the ground. We have our office in New Brussels, which they could get the tax deductible receipts and support us again on the website. We have all the information at bethbc.edu.
All right. Again, thanks so much for being with us on the podcast today. We have been richly blessed and inspired. And I'm just going to close with some prayer. Hopefully everyone around the country that's listening or around North America that's listening will join with me. And this will be the start of much prayer towards our Palestinian brothers and sisters. Lord, we give you thanks. We praise you that you are Lord over the world, that even in the midst of violence and horrific killing, you are still Lord. And you are working through your people to bring peace and reconciliation. We pray for Pastor Jack. We pray for his ministries, his family, for safety, protection, but also blessing and flourishing through his ministry. We pray for Bethlehem Bible College, that you will use them, fill them, and provide for them, Lord. And then for all the churches there, all the Christians that we've heard about here in this podcast, Lord, will you bring them much love, much flourishing, much protection, much power of your presence and perseverance as they minister the gospel in the midst of all this horrific tragedy. For we pray it all in Jesus' name for your kingdom. Amen. Folks, amen. It's been great to have you with us. Pastor Jack, thanks again for being with us. We look forward to the next Theology and Mission podcast. I don't even know when it's going to be. I think we're running at the end of this. This is coming to the end of our season, isn't it, Mike Moore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But anyways, this is a fitting way to end it. So until next time, and I don't know when it is, it's over and out. It's
Mike Moore
and Dave Fitch for Theology on Mission podcast.